What a blessing to be able to have that kind of music before the service. Amen? Yes, that's right. Give them a round of applause. They are so good. Well, if you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to be with us today. And if you got a welcome packet when you came in, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or leave it on the information table on your way out, that would be so helpful. Hopefully you also received a bulletin as well as everybody else. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. Let's kind of take a look at what are some of the things that are going on. Right after our morning worship service this morning, we are going to be having Sunday school at 11:30. We have Sunday school for kids all the way through adults. And so I hope that if you haven't been joining us for Sunday school, you would like to be able to do that today. It's more of a little group study that we get a little bit more intensive Bible study than what we could do through the time of the sermon. Tomorrow night, ladies, Bible study here at the church at 7 p.m. Tuesday at 6:30, men's Bible study here at the church. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible study at 1 p.m. here at the church. Thursday, we have Awana and its snowball fight. We're going to bring down some snow from the mountains to be able to accomplish. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We might be able to scrape around a little bit. No, I can guarantee you the snowballs we're going to be using will not melt. I guarantee that. Okay? All right? So today we're going to be observing communion. That means at the time of our offering, we're going to be receiving an offering for the Benevolent Fund. Those of you that have been around here for a long time, you know what that means. If you're a guest, you don't know what that means, see me after the morning service and we'll be happy to answer your question about that. So, it's been stated that because the Kansas City Chiefs did not make it to the Super Bowl or are not going to make it to the Super Bowl, there will not be a Super Bowl party. If that's your attitude, you need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness because there will be a Super Bowl party February 8th, 2 weeks from today. I don't care what teams are going to be playing. We're going to celebrate as a church family, just coming together, eating snacks, watching the game on the big screens. No place better than that, right? And so we'll have more details in the next couple of weeks, but we want you to bring snacks. Kickoff is at 4:30. You might want to be here before then, and then you can stay as long as you like. So everybody got that? So we're going to have the Super Bowl party on the 8th of February, the second Sunday, but we won't have church family dinner. We will have church family dinner on the 15th, the following Sunday. Everybody got that? Are you confused? See me afterwards, and I'll try to confuse you even more, okay, by trying to explain it to you all over again. So make sure that you have that on your calendar. There is a Super Bowl party. There is going to be church family dinner. It's just church family dinner on the 15th, Super Bowl party on the 8th. Clear as iced tea? I don't drink coffee, so clear as iced tea? All right, good. If you have any questions, come and see me. Lots of other things in the bulletin for you to be able to know of. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes, I am. Yes. Glad I'm here.
It's a little chilly outside, but you know what? Sunny. We have the warmth of Jesus in here. And because we have the warmth of Jesus, let us let him warm our hearts as we sing our praises to him. Amen? Amen. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, then I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, then I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Give the Lord a round of applause. He's worthy of our praise today. Father, we are so thankful for you. We're thankful to be in your house this morning. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you so much for the amazing grace that we have in Jesus. Lord, we love you. We're here for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. A light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek. Knowing I will find all I need in you alone, where you go, I'll go, where you stay, I'll stay, when you move, I'll move, I will follow you, whom you love, I'll love, how you serve, I'll serve, if this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you, yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In
go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're singing a lot about one man. His name is Jesus today. We're singing about how much we love him for what he's done for us. We're singing about following him all the days of our lives, the Jesus way.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven. For I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, I follow Jesus. He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. I choose surrender, I choose love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness, I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. 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 I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear. Jesus way. He is the treasure, he is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Jesus, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted. Sing holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever. You will always be. We are here for you today and you alone. We're doing a little daydreaming today of what it's going to be like to be with you someday and sing holy, 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 holy forever. That's what you're worth. You're worth adoration. You're worth praise. You're worth worship. You're worth all we have to give. So, Lord, we worship you. We worship you and we praise you today. Magnify your name. Your name is the greatest. Your name is the highest. Your name stands above them all. So we worship you alone. As we take this morning's offering, I don't want you to give because a plate passes in front of you. I want you to give because Jesus is asking you for worship, to release the control you think you have on your money and your stuff and your security. Remember that He is your hope. He is your security. He is worth everything that you have. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with Him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with Him died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day, we join the resurrection. Stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, there will be a day will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. A mighty roar, glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
Thank you so much, worship team. Holy is the Lord. Amen. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you sent off for children's church. Oh, I thought this big kid was coming. Any more out there? Dude, you're the Lone Ranger today. All right, let's pray. Father, how grateful we are to have been able to just lift our voices in praise to you. And Father, as Jared has reminded us and the worship team has reminded us, as they've led us in worship this morning, you are worthy of not just our praise, you are worthy of our very being. And Father, we want to give that to you. So Father, we've given you our voices, we've given you our heart, and now I pray that we will give you our ears to be able to hear your word. And Father, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we be doers. May we give you our hearts enough to be able to live out your word as we leave this place in a little while. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for what we've been able to experience, what we're going to hear from your word, and, Father, for the way that you direct us to live our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Glad to have fun. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1. So several months ago, I was driving in my car, and I had the radio on, and I had it turned to talk radio. Sometimes I listen to talk radio in my car. Sometimes I listen to music in my car. Sometimes I listen to the Holy Spirit in my car. Sometimes I pray in my car as I'm driving in the traffic in the Treasure Valley. And I don't pray for my driving. I pray for everybody else's. And no, I do not close my eyes and bow my head and fold my hands when I pray when I'm out in traffic. I just shoot up prayers to God. And I was listening to this radio commentator who supposedly was a conservative, and he was interviewing someone else who I got in on part of the conversation, who kind of led me to believe that maybe he wasn't a conservative. And so the radio commentator made a comment about, well, have you ever heard God's word? And this person, the interviewee, said, God doesn't speak to us. God's been silent for a whole long time. And I went, I don't think so. And I couldn't pull over, and I could, because I knew there was verses that told us that that's not the case. And so when I finally got to my destination, I pulled out my phone, and I looked at my Bible on my phone, and I started in Hebrews chapter 1, and sure enough, Hebrews chapter 1 makes it very clear that God is not silent. He has revealed himself to mankind. In fact, verse 1 of our text tells us that in times past, God spoke to men through the prophets. Hopefully, you're looking for Hebrews chapter 1 in your Bibles this morning. He spoke on numerous occasions and in different ways. God's revelation by the prophets was fragmentary, irregular, but it was also progressive. He spoke in dreams, visions, by types, by angels, through the law, and prophetically through prophets that he had chosen. In these last days, however, God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. In Jesus, we have the final and complete revelation of God. If you want to know what the eternal and almighty God is really like, you need to look no further than Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So as we're going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to discover something of the wonder and the majesty of Jesus. That's what our praise time has been all about, right? Is offering our praises in light of the majesty of Jesus. That's what I believe is going to help prepare us for our celebration of communion yet to come this morning. Well, hopefully by now you found Hebrews chapter 1 in your Bible, so follow along as I read verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, how? By his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Make sure you're paying attention to this next sentence. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So when I got to the office and I started looking more and more at these three verses in Hebrews chapter 1, it was like, whoa, there's a message here. There's a sermon here. And I started to take notes, and then I've been adding through months after coming back to these verses over and over again, and I've been adding and adding to the sermon as the Holy Spirit has been directing. So if you think the sermon this morning is going to be too long, then you just take it up with him, okay? All right? Because I just kept going as he was given, and so that's the way it goes, right? So if there's one theme that we can camp on this morning, it's this: our Savior is greater than anything or anyone. If you don't take anything else away from the message this morning, take that. Our Savior is greater than anything or anyone. In fact, I think as Jared prayed this morning, he prayed something very similar to those same thoughts. And so that is great. So let's take a look at Jesus, the Savior. Number one, he is the revelator. Look at again, verse 1. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. You know what this tells us? Number one, his word is inspired. He's the source. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all scripture. How much of scripture? All scripture. Keep that thought in mind. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the people of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So Paul here in 2 Timothy affirms the action of God, which is the inspiration of his word. God's not silent. God speaks to us. And how does God speak to us? Through his word. And his word is inspired, every bit of it. From Genesis to Revelation and everything in between, it is inspired by God. It is authority, and it is useful in guiding believers towards spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to understand this morning, the Bible is not a human invention. I don't know how many times I have people say to me, well, the Bible was just written and put together by men. Well, I can't argue with that, because that's how God chose to give it to us. He used his Holy Spirit to dictate to men what God wanted them to be able to write down. And they wrote down as the Holy Spirit was directing it to under God's inspiration. So yes, it was given to us by men, but under the dictate of God through his Holy Spirit. It's not a human invention, okay? Paul didn't wake up several mornings and say, you know what, I think I'm going to write some of the New Testament today. Didn't happen that way. He wrote as the Holy Spirit moved in him to be able to write what God wanted him to do. Moses didn't decide someday when he was trekking through the wilderness that he was just going to write the first five books of the Old Testament. He didn't just say, you know what, this is a nice shady spot, and the cloud's not moving, the pillar of fire is not moving, so I've got some time on my hands. I'm just going to sit down and start writing the Old Testament. Didn't happen like that. God moved in Moses. God moved in Paul. God moved in the authors of these books. What he wanted them to be able to say through his Holy Spirit. He breathed his words through his Holy Spirit into these authors, showing us his truth and his wisdom. Now, the phrase inspired by God in the Greek, are you ready for this? Comes from the word theopneustos, which means God breathed. Theo meaning God. Pneustos comes from the word pneuma, which is the word for air, which in the Bible, we get the picture of the Holy Spirit through the picture of air. Remember Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John? He said to Nicodemus, he says, you see the results of the wind, but you've never seen the wind. He goes, you see the leaves blowing. We see the trash moving as the wind is blowing. We saw on Friday, right, afternoon, the glorious breeze coming and taking away the inversion. Did you see the wind? No, you saw the result of the wind. So this pneuma means air. It's the same way we get the word pneumatic. How many of you know what pneumatic tires are? Why are they called pneumatic, Jared? Because they're what? There's air inside of them. They're filled with air. So theopneustos, God breathed, indicating the God-given origin and authority of his written word. This is so important for us to grab a hold of, because there are a lot of people today going around saying that God's word has no authority. God's word has no meaning. God's word has no power. God's word is not something we need to pay attention to. In fact, God's word isn't truth, because there's no such thing as absolute truth. That's what they say. I'm not saying that, because I believe that there's absolute truth, and it's found right here. Nowhere else. It's God's inspired word. The Bible possesses the authority to convict, to correct, and to transform lives, equipping believers for every good work for God's glory. Remember what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Pat you on the back? No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. God's word is inerrant. Inerrant. It is without error. That means it is absolute truth. Listen to Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord. Now, here in Psalm 19, we're going to see words like law, precepts, we're going to see commandments, testimony, all of those words equate to the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You get the idea? If you want more, go ahead and read more of Psalm 19. The psalmist extols the perfection, trustworthiness, and clarity of God's word. The Bible is not subject to error or falsehood, but serves as a reliable guide for life, bringing renewal, wisdom, joy, and insight to those of us who choose to heed its teachings. The various descriptors used in Psalm 19 underscore the multifaceted benefits of God's word. It revives the soul. When you are down, when you are discouraged, when you are in chaos, the best place for you to be able to go is the word of God. It revives the soul. It makes wise the simple. Do you think that I'm so smart and I'm so wise that I can communicate to you God's word just off the top of my head? No, it's come from what? Study of God's word. Okay? It brings wisdom. It makes wise the simple. That word simple, that's me. Brings joy to the heart. Gives insight for living. Such attributes affirm the inerrancy and the transformative power of Scripture. Now, several years ago, there was a poll of 10,000 United States clergymen. And this poll reveals their beliefs concerning God's Word. When asked if they believe that the Bible is the inspired and inerrant Word of God, this was the response. 95% of Episcopalians said, nope. 85% of Methodists said, nope. 82% of Presbyterians said, nope. 77% of American Lutherans said, nope. 67% of American Baptists said, no. What? Yeah. You see why it's so important for us to be able to know that God's word is authoritative, that God's word is without error. This result of this poll speaks for itself. Because no wonder our country is like it. When most of the spiritual leaders that God has raised up in our country don't believe that God's word is the inspired and inerrant word of God, that's amazing. No wonder our country is like it is. His word is infallible. That means it's unchangeable. In Washington, D.C., there is a building called the National Institute of Standards and Technology. This facility is responsible for storing perfect samples of weights and measurements. They have what are called prototypes of pound weights, like kilograms. They have measuring rods for feet, yards, and metric measurements, like meters. For example, they have a meter standard, which is a reinforced bar of platinum alloy made with exactly 10% iridium. When they want to know the exact measurement of a meter, they cool this bar down to 0 degrees Celsius at a sea level of 45 degrees latitude, and then they know they will have the exact tip-to-tip measurement of a meter. That bar is known as prototype number 27. Because the original is kept in a suburb of Paris at the International Bureau of Weights and Measures. We also have a measuring rod that never changes. It's the Word of God. Not only is Jesus the revelator, he's the regulator. Look at verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 1. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Through him who created the world, he created all things. John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through him. Who's the him? Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now I want you to grab a hold of this. Jesus was not sitting idly by until he made his appearance in the flesh. Jesus was the very cause and source of all life and activity. It says here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, all things. This phrase comes from the Greek panta, which includes every individual thing, each, every, any, all, everyone, every single thing came into being through who? Jesus. And the tense of the verb implies that it could be read all things through him came into being totally and as a single event. He's the regulator. Not only did he create all things, he controls all things. So is Jesus in control of you? Will you, no matter what stage you are in your spiritual life, give him authority for your heart and life? Will you rely on him for his daily provision? Will you rely on him more than your own priorities and obligations? Does he decide your values, goals, priorities, direction, and outcomes? Do his values dictate your personality? Do you follow his direction every day? Do you follow the instructions he has given you where? In his word. Which, by the way, right, is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. Not only does he create all things, not only is he in control of all things, he constrains all things. And so therefore, may we be grounded in the love of Jesus, to be strengthened and growing in his word, to comprehend, as Paul mentions in the book of Ephesians, the width, length, height, and depth of Jesus' love. May we be filled every day, every moment of every day, with the very fullness of Jesus. Give yourself to Jesus and then watch what he will do. Not only is he the revelator, not only is he the regulator, he is the redeemer. Look at verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. By the what? The word of his power. After making purification for sins, he is the redeemer. And as the redeemer, he is the willing sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Without shedding of blood, there is no redemption. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Jesus Christ came the first time to put away our sin by what? The sacrifice of himself. Why was it by the sacrifice of himself? Because even if you would have tried to sacrifice to pay the debt for your own sin, wouldn't have been good enough. Only his sacrifice was the acceptable payment for your sin, my sin. And as 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 tells us, the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is the propitiation. Who's the he? Jesus. Is the propitiation. What does that word propitiation mean? Satisfaction. He is the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Isaac Watts, that author of many, many hymns of old, wrote these words: not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. So when we celebrate communion, we not only look back to the cross and to the salvation Jesus purchased for us by his own blood, but we also look forward to the full realization of that salvation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, because none of those things would be that acceptable sacrifice. But with the I love that word but, right? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that our faith and our hope are in ourselves. No? That's not what it says? But isn't that what some preachers want us to believe? Yeah. So that our faith and our hope are in God, not us. He not only is the willing sacrifice, he is the accepted sacrifice. Jesus' death on the cross was the sacrifice that was acceptable to God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, or tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Your redemption, my redemption, is eternal. By very nature of the fact that it is called an eternal redemption means you can never lose it. You can never give it back. It can never be taken away from you. Because otherwise it wouldn't be what? Eternal. What does the word eternal mean, class? Forever. It's an eternal redemption. How sweet is that? For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? He never sinned. That's why he could be the accepted sacrifice. If Jesus had sinned once, he would not have been able to be that accepted sacrifice. He could not have gone to the cross to satisfy the requirement that God had as the payment for your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's not about our works. It's about our Savior. It's about our Savior. It's about him being the accepted sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He is the loving sacrifice. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so are we. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And we can say, because of that survey we just read, the results of that survey, that there are even spiritual leaders who don't believe his word. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God what? Loved the world. And this is the greatest love story of all time. Why? Because it is an incomprehensible love. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus' love is greater than any person can ever know. It is an undeserved love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is a constraining love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. It is an everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Now, those words were spoken by the prophet Jeremiah to the nation of Israel, but I think there's an application there for us even today, that Jesus' love for us is a what? Everlasting love. There is no greater love than Jesus' love for us. There is no greater love than Jesus' love for us. There is no greater love than Jesus' love for us. This great love caused Jesus to leave his throne and enter a world of time, death, sweat, poverty, obscurity, and scorn. Jesus allowed himself to be treated as a criminal, suffered death by the cruelest means possible, became the bearer of all sin, and died to pay the debt of sin that we owed. No wonder the hymn says, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? As we prepare to celebrate communion this morning, if you are a guest with us this morning, let me just remind you that you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church to be able to celebrate communion with us this morning. You just have to be a believer in the fact that Jesus is your Savior, that Jesus died on that cross for you. And as the elements are passed, as the bread is passed, and you are sitting waiting for everybody to be served, and you're holding that piece of bread in your hand, I want you to think about Jesus. And likewise with the cup, as you're holding onto that cup when it's passed, waiting for everyone to be served, I want you to think about Jesus. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain.
Let's remember Jesus.
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river, till my raptured soul shall
let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand for this final song? Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy. That endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great.
Thy faithfulness, great is thy faith. One more time, great is thy faithfulness, Lord.